Chapter 11. Rami.
A library is people, just as much as it is books and archives. You want to know the heart of a library? Don't look at its most famous books. Look at the people it serves, who it comforts, who it protects. The heart of a library may be its books, but its soul is its people. Humans and stories. Impossible to separate the two. Librarian Madiha Alfieri, 603 CE.
A clatter of noise signaled the arrival of the rest of the library crew in the front lobby. Ramiel gradually slowed his step. He'd been pacing a path in the melodrama, Korean, section, close enough to keep an eye on the lobby without being found by pesky, helpful ex-muses. Walking helped him think, though it was a distant replacement for flying. And he was thinking he'd been, as Hero would say, an ass. Ramiel had been dealing with humans for a long time, as a watcher, then as a wannabe angel at the gates. He'd never been invested in one, cared about one, as he cared about Claire, Hero, and Brevity. He was finding the pure, fragile madness of humans more of an issue when he cared about the particular outcome. He'd been afraid when he'd hurtled after Claire into the fire, when he'd realized she had risked her life for that damned knife. He'd been angry, but not at her. At a world that felt made to break vulnerable mortals at every turn. It was terrifying. He didn't know how Claire even functioned with it. Probably not by losing one's temper with one's allies and storming off like a clod. Ramiel rubbed the remaining soot off his face and peeked around the corner of the stacks. The sight and sound of Brevity clattering around the desk was comforting, at least. Hero had dropped himself over the armchair that gave him a view of the front doors, while Claire hovered, obviously uncomfortable, for more reasons than just smoke-singed clothing.
"Shouldn't we make this official?"
Brevity said, her smile soft and hopeful.
"Rejoin the unwritten wing again?"
A torrent of emotions flinched across Claire's face, stowed away by reflex. Rami cleared his throat and stepped out of hiding to join the conversation.
"Of course. We'd be grateful to assist here with the arcane wing gone."
"Assist? Psh."
Brevity yanked open a lower drawer on her desk and began scrounging in its depths.
"I can do better than... Aha! Found it."
"Should we get cleaned up first?"
Rami asked uncertainly. Claire was holding the burnt edges of her skirt with one hand. Brevity hauled a small box to her desktop and set it beside the librarian's log carefully.
"Nonsense! The books won't care."
Brevity was already in the process of herding Claire toward the desk. She shuffled things around until Rami was squeezed into the oversized armchair with Claire. The previous disagreement was forgotten, at least by the muse. Claire tensed, obviously ready for Rami's withdrawal. It made shame stew in his stomach. He squeezed his knees together in an awkward attempt to not take up more than his allotted share of space. Claire risked a glance to her side, and Rami grimaced and bowed his head gently. An apology of sorts, though he knew he would need to explain later.
"Okay, just a little. And Claire? And, oh, Rami, you don't have a last name, do you?"
Brevity held her pen poised over the librarian's log. Rami gingerly extracted himself from the chair to peer over the desk. Brevity had turned the book to a blank page, and scrawling in her looping, exuberant script, she'd improvised an attempt, in plain language, at a basic decree stating he and Claire were hereby inducted into the service of the Unwritten Wing.
We can do that?
Hero muttered from Brevity's other side.
Course we can. Just need some fine print and...
Brevity said with no trace of doubt. She tightened her script to a few minuscule lines at the bottom of the page.
And done. Sign here.
Fine print?
Rami echoed blankly. Hero elbowed his way to squint at the book.
It says, did you just write peanut butter and jelly over and over?
The details don't matter.
Brevity shooed him off in order to spin the heavy book around on the scarred wood surface.
Sign there, both of you.
I don't.
Rami hesitated and glanced at Claire. Her lips were pressed in a pale line of discomfort. For a moment, it appeared she would object. Finally, she released a terse breath through her teeth and snatched up the pen.
Give it here.
Claire's signature was swift and complete. Claire Juniper Hadley. And then she pushed the pen into Rami's hands.
It's fine. Let's just be done with it.
There was an undertone to Claire's voice that was wound tighter than a harp string. Rami quieted his concerns and adjusted his grip on the stylus. He'd never signed something before. Not in the sense of indicating his own agency, at least. Angels didn't have agency. Fallen angels, only shame. The first choice Rami had made was to lend assistance to rescue the soul of Leto, Claire's lost nephew. The choices had come fast after that. To abandon Uriel's senseless thirst for blood, to protect Leto and help Claire and the others retain the library. Decision after decision, with no moment to wait or breathe. Decisions cared nothing for his duty or his sins, just action. He wrote his name under Claire's and set down the pen swiftly. He expected a change, a thrill of magic, a chill, that susurrous wave of whispers that the Unwritten Wing had when something important happened. The air felt dry and stale without it. Everything was still. Rami coughed and stepped back.
What now?
Now?
Brevity bounced on her heels. She seemed eminently satisfied by whatever had, or had not, happened. She wafted a hand over the book long enough to allow the ink to dry before shutting it again.
Now we make tea.
It felt like the stacks of books released a held breath. Brevity enlisted Hero's help in making tea.
Claire?
Oh, yes, thank you, Rami.
Claire accepted the cloth and absently wiped at her face. The tension hadn't abated despite their supposed safety. She held still in the armchair, and eventually even her hands fell to her lap as she frowned into the distance.
Is something wrong? Seemed like a particularly obtuse question, even for Rami.
So instead, he reached for an irrelevant question.
Do you think the Unwritten Wing has accepted us back in?
Claire's laugh was short and bitter.
Who knows? I thought I knew everything about the library. And this entire endeavor has been a constant string of disproving that.
She caught Rami's alarmed look and waved him off before burying her head in her hands.
The books cast me out, and I thought I was done with this place. But here I am, right back here. Here. And this time a refugee, filthy with failure, begging them for the mercy I never once showed them.
It's not a mercy to welcome an old friend.
The books and I were never friends,
Claire said warily.
You had to be once. You dreamed of writing, didn't you? Writers are readers first.
Rami sat gingerly on the arm of the chair, not quite turned toward her.
I have learned a lot about books and stories since I came here. And the first thing I learned is that there's a love between a reader and a story that no one can harm or possess.
I can't remember the last time I've simply enjoyed a book for pleasure.
Now I know that's not true,
Rami murmured. Claire chuckled to herself and slanted her eyes at Rami between her fingers.
I see what you're doing, Ramiel. This isn't about Hero.
No, it isn't,
Rami agreed gently.
It's about your attempts to isolate yourself again, to punish yourself for your perceived failures.
I burned the arcane wing down, Rami.
Hell burned the arcane wing. You did everything in your power to save it.
Much to your disapproval.
My disapproval doesn't matter.
He paused, making sure Claire understood what he was saying.
The unwritten wing accepts you returning because you never really left here, Claire. You are a writer. You are a reader. You are human. You are a part of the continuum of untold stories and will always have a place here.
Says who?
I do. You read books. I read souls.
Same thing, Claire said into her lap.
Same thing,
Rami affirmed. Chapter 12. Claire.
History is told by the victors. Isn't that how it goes? Fight for something and lose, you're insurrectionists, conspirators, terrorists. Fight for something and win, you're rebels, freedom fighters, founding fathers. History is a story told in past tense, the best kind of propaganda. What everyone forgets is that at one point in the story, every villain thinks they are the hero. History happens in the edit.
Librarian Gregor Henry, 1986 CE. Claire took the time to scrub the soot and ashes from her skin once they returned to the unwritten wing. Brevity had never moved into the restoration room that Claire'd used as an office, and there was still a small wardrobe of clothes, mostly cast-offs and knitted monstrosities from the damsels, tucked in the back corner. She found a pair of loose trousers that didn't have nearly enough pockets for her taste, but Claire paired them with a cardigan with deep enough pockets to hide half an encyclopedia. All pockets were best judged by book size, in Claire's opinion. She left her streaked and singed clothes behind in a hamper. She'd been in the library long enough to know that, given a few days, the next time she went seeking the wardrobe, her garments would be whole again. Hell was a place for forgetting. Even items wanted to forget their damage after enough time. By the time she emerged from the back room, Brevity, bless the muse down to her toes, already had a pot on. It appeared to have just come off the hot plate, and Brevity was deeply engrossed in flipping through the logbook, the cup at her elbow still steaming, but already forgotten. Claire poured herself a cup and took a sip, pleasantly surprised to find it was a strong Darjeeling, rather than the fruity nonsense Brev preferred.
Hero doesn't like Earl Grey, else I would already have your favorite,
Brevity explained without looking up.
Bergamot is a scent, not a flavor, thank you,
Hero said.
Only because you've never had good Earl Grey.
Claire eased into a seat nearby. Americans.
We should discuss what our next course of action is,
Rami said, perhaps because he knew how Claire and Hero enjoyed a good tiff. Claire shrugged her shoulders with a defeated air.
What action? She'll cut us off. Malthus isn't stupid.
She knows from watching Andris what a direct assault on the library will bring.
Damn straight,
Hero muttered.
But we can't wait her out either,
Rami cautioned.
Malphus will not be idle while she's got us cornered in here. And Malphus has had eternity to cultivate superior strategy.
Claire tilted her head thoughtfully. How lucky we have our own immortal being as well. Rami nearly dropped the fragile teacup in his big hands.
I beg your pardon?
Both you and Malphus are angels. Were angels, Claire corrected when Rami opened his mouth to argue. She tapped her fingers on her knee contemplatively, and her glance veered between Hero and Rami. You know how she thinks, how she'll try to root us out. And you, Hero, you've already fought and won a war.
A fictional one,
Hero reminded her with a dry air. Claire made a dismissive noise. It makes it no less real. You have told me that often enough. Will you deny it now? When Hero merely pursed his lips, Claire nodded. She didn't have a plan, not yet, but she could see the pins on which they would hang it. If I asked you two to put your heads together, can we hold the library?
No,
Rami said grimly.
Definitely not,
admitted Hero. Not forever, obviously. Can we buy ourselves time? Claire said. They'll loot and burn this place to the ground, as has been done to libraries countless times through history. Hell is not an option anymore. So what are our options? The silence was painful, needling all of them. No one wanted to say the obvious option, so Claire did it for them. We could run, of course. Tell the damsels they're off the books. Then every soul for themselves. Abandoned ship. Maybe those of us with souls can work our way to Medina for sanctuary before hell notices. The library will have an interest in Hero, of course, and I'll be in another ghost-like situation. But Rami, brevity, you two would have no trouble slipping off.
Shut up!
Brevity's outburst startled everyone. She made a dramatic show of flopping back in her chair.
Heck in Hades, boss, you know none of us are doing that. We can't do that. We can't just abandon the books like that.
Brevity paused, pinning Claire with an uncharacteristically stern look.
You would never do that, and you know it.
Wouldn't she? Brevity sounded so certain. It was a kindness. Claire sifted through the burst of gratitude and doubt. There was some time, at some point in the past, when she would have. It was exactly the kind of abandonment and escape she'd planned with her own main character, Beatrice, wasn't it? And even after then, given a guilt-free excuse to walk away, to escape the library, to choose freedom, she couldn't say for sure that she wouldn't have taken it. But now, I suppose I wouldn't, Claire said. But I am honest when I say I don't know what option that leaves us instead.
Besides pointless heroism,
Hero muttered.
No, no more martyrs,
Rami said, with a heavy look at the rest of the room. Hell would not accept a single sacrifice anyway. Claire spared a glance for brevity. She appeared distracted, dragging her thumb over the edge of the logbook pages with a rhythmic thrrp sound. Claire considered leaving it there. Simple, agreeable, unsaid. Unfortunately, she had lost that right, lost the assumption of good, humane intentions over her checkered history with the library. She had to say it, for herself. Claire sighed. But the books here have souls, in some way. They're
They're individuals. I brought them to this point, whether they were my books or not, whether I'm librarian or not.
She felt the weight of Brevity's sudden attention on her.
Whether librarian or not, I can't walk away.
People are not a cause,
Hero said almost to himself.
You admit that you're granting stories personhood?
I am not in a position to grant anything. We should not be in the business of arbitrating the worthiness of souls,
Claire said harshly. They were all facing her with encouraging looks. She frowned.
Don't you dare try to give me a gold star and a pat on the head for finally wrapping my brain around the obvious and performing the bare minimum of humanity.
Hero shrugged.
Sure, but you won't be half as fun to mock now.
Claire's frown deepened, and Rami was the first to return to the point at hand.
Is moving the books an option? Does every library have the ability to relocate, as the Unsaid Wing did?
Claire shook her head.
Libraries tend to take on the nature of their charges and their librarians. The Unsaid Wing is full of letters and secrets. Those are never meant to stay in one place. The Unwritten Wing is more staid.
A place meant for waiting, eternally,
Hero said, and Claire nodded.
Brevity can confer with Echo, of course.
Claire paused.
It appeared Brev still wasn't listening. But the Unwritten Wing was never made to move. Books only leave by means of their human authors, via muses, normally.
Claire was reasonably sure that Hero didn't even require eye contact for that remark.
Humans.
A tenor in Brevity's voice made Claire turn. She still had that faraway look. Her gaze was simultaneously on the logbook and beyond it. Then her chin snapped up.
But that's what humans do. That's it.
What? Claire couldn't help her skepticism. The memory of Probity's accusations was still too fresh in her mind.
What do humans do besides burn and destroy?
Rebel,
Brevity breathed, more animated every moment. She drummed her palms on the book in front of her with emphasis.
It's all right here. Create and rebel. What's more human than that?
Oh, I don't know. Cruelty over superficial differences, sticking flags in things, frozen yogurt, performative gender roles, war.
Hero counted off on his fingers. Claire was well practiced at ignoring Hero by now. She tilted her head at Brevity.
I don't understand.
What is frozen yogurt?
Rami asked in a fascinated tone.
Oh, Poppaea.
The connections fired in Claire's brain all at once. She stared as Brevity's smile grew. A chill shot up Claire's neck as the idea took hold. She glanced down at the giant weight of the librarian's log in Brevity's hands.
You're talking about the story of librarian Poppaea Iulia.
Brevity nodded.
That's devious and suicidal.
Hero tilted his head.
I love it.
Rami cleared his throat.
Not all of us have been thoroughly versed in the history of the librarians. Librarian Poppaea was the most interesting one of the lot. Present company excluded, Hero explained. She was a delightful librarian's librarian during the, what, early Roman? Or after? It's all Greek to me. She got the idea in her head to defy Lucifer himself and contest the library's place in hell. Her entries are incredibly cagey about it. A full-on rebellion against everyone.
Hero practically clapped his hands.
She failed, of course. Set off the whole Dark Ages.
She did not set off anything, and really, Dark Ages, Hero,
That's an outmoded view of history that lacks any nuance. Claire sniffed, despite the blatant fact that he'd learned the history from her.
Point is, she was frightfully clever and makes even our own dear Claire look like a teacher's pet in comparison.
Hero waved away any pesky details.
She appeared to believe the library should be sovereign of its own realm.
Maybe she was right, Revity ventured slowly. Would any of this have happened if the library was free from hell? And free from anywhere, really? Would this have happened if we, the library, all of us, worked together?
Hero was always eager for a bloody revolution, but Claire caught the way words like freedom and cooperation began to catch Rami's interest. She shook her head.
The point is, she failed. She failed. She disappeared. And the unwritten wing was rudderless for a century. We have no reason to think an attempt now would end any different.
Unless we avoided her mistakes, Hero suggested.
We don't even know what she did.
Claire gestured to the desk.
The librarian's log doesn't say.
As I recall from the official chronicle, she talks about challenging hell and establishing a new realm, and gets all very vague and ominous, and then it just ends. I've never found anything specific about how she did it.
Unless the log has deigned to reveal something more to you, Brev.
She could see by the way Brevity's smile fell that it hadn't.
We could ask the books, Hero insisted. Obviously, they were here to witness it.
Not necessarily.
The hope seemed to be deflating out of Brevity as she spoke, and Claire felt a deep stab of guilt.
Something happened to the library after Poppaea failed. I don't know if any books were lost, but I've never seen a book wake up that would have witnessed that time. Books that old either don't know anything or just don't wake up.
And it would be too dangerous to try to wake them, Claire said.
As you would know,
Hero said cheerily.
Who else would know?
Rami asked, before Claire could entirely murder Hero with her eyes.
No one that would talk to us,
Brevity said, after a long pause. She sank down in her seat behind the desk. Her fingers plucked listlessly at the scars on her forearms. Her blue skin was rough there, with a thin thread of black barely visible between puckered bits of skin. The aftermath of their encounter with the unresolved ink of lost stories. Claire thought of the dust wing again and shuddered. She could still almost taste the air clogged with regret and death. Death. It was a particularly foolish idea that she had just then. Really, hero-like in its ridiculous scale. But as she watched Brevity fold in on herself, the idea stuck like a sliver and started to grow. Claire let out a long sigh.
Actually, there may be someone who knows and who might talk to us.
Brevity looked up, hope so easily returning to her. Claire wished she had that skill.
Who? Who can we talk to?
Chapter 13, Brevity.
No one will read these words, will they? So I can admit it here. I considered Malphas a friend. She reminded me of my own grandmother, spinning me tales of Ariadne before bed. Grandmother carried a wicked blade too, and she never asked me when I was to be married. In any case, that's why I had my guard down. I told her about my idea, my dream, to build the library a realm of its very own, a place for souls that don't belong anywhere else. I only came to my senses when she asked, eyes like covetous gems. Why? Why would human souls be drawn to such a thing as a library? I forget the nonsense answer I gave her, but I know those were not the eyes of my friend. I should make a contingency, just in case. Librarian Poppaea Iulia, 48 BCE. The transport office had always been located relatively near the library. It made sense. Muses came and went, and perhaps originally the idea had been to have death keep a close eye on the independent part of hell, stuffed to the gills with tempting mortal souls. Brevity walked beside Claire with a tension rising in the silence. This had been her idea. They were going to talk to death because of her idea. She'd always liked Walter. Brevity generally found something to adore in everyone she met. But since muses didn't typically die, she understood Walter's role only as a vague construct. Sure, she understood that Walter was part of a universal constant called death. There were many Walters, in a way, in every realm and in every world. But in practice, Walter had just been their gatekeeper. The gentle giant with a dust rag and an ill-fitting suit who Brevity waved to on her way in and out of the realm. But Brevity had become acquainted with death during her time in the library. She'd become a scholar of it, a death anthropologist. She had held the hands of damsels, friends, as the story of their life had wilted away. She'd fumbled to help Claire over the grieving and loss of her own past. She'd seen how the wrong kind of death had haunted Leto. She'd feared for the lives of those she loved over and over again, and realized how fragile and fleeting and white-hot real mortal lives were. Even in hell. Perhaps especially in hell. Brevity had begun to have an inkling of what death threatened and what it promised, and now they needed answers that only that unpredictable question mark could provide. Claire's step didn't hesitate when they reached the archway with three interlocking wheels carved above it. She descended the steps lightly and seemed no more bothered than she'd be on any errand. It was a lie. Brevity could understand that much. If Brevity had become acquainted with death, then Claire had befriended it. Out of necessity, out of loneliness, out of spite. If Claire could face this with calm, then so could Brevity. She straightened her shoulders and hurried down the stairs after Claire's retreating shadow. Walter's office was a reassuring constant, at least. The stairs emptied out into a muddled curio of a room, stacked with glass jars of varying sizes and shapes, containing even more varied worlds. There was a perpetual film of puttering and time that clung to every surface, a sepia-toned filter to the world. But Brevity's favorite part was, as always, the colors. Bits of light escaped each jar, like steam rising off a fresh cup of tea, never as plentiful and vivid as the colors that bubbled and burbled inside the jars, nor as questing and reaching as the tendrils from a book, but faint trail signs of worlds yet to be explored. Walter had left a single jar out on the counter, and a misty curly cue of saffron dribbled onto the counter. It took some doing to resist reaching out to touch it and to turn the jar to see what faraway realm was reaching back. But that wasn't why they were here. Nothing so joyous. Claire stopped an appropriate distance from the counter and peered past it into the gloom. Brevity had to stand on her tiptoes. Claire cleared her throat.
Hey-ho! Shop! Walter! Are you about?
A shadow moved farther back.
and Brevity quickly knew it was Walter, because it didn't grow any smaller as he approached the light. Walter shrugged between shelves, emerging shoulders first. He was surprisingly agile for an individual in possession of boulder-like shoulders and hands as big as Brevity's torso. It added a gentleness to his demeanor that Brevity always suspected was cultivated, which just made her even more fond of him.
Miss Clare! Miss Brevity!
Walter always seemed pleased to see them, but his brows dipped in an uncharacteristic line of worry. His voice was always a bit like a nightmare that was fond of you, and concern was ill-fitted to it. So you've heard the news, Claire surmised.
The missing hallways and the like were sure to spread gossip, ma'am,
Walter said with an apologetic dip of his head.
I'm just glad to see you and Miss Brev in one piece.
Whole, hail, souls relatively intact, Claire straightened. We came to seek your advice on staying that way. The floorboards couldn't help but groan as Walter fidgeted from foot to foot. Claire tilted her head, studying him a moment before precisely folding her hands on top of the counter. Or did Malthus already get here before us? Perhaps to fume and fury and order you against helping us?
She is terribly terrifying when she gets in a state, ma'am.
Walter studied the scar-studded knuckles of his big hands.
You ruffled her over quite good this time.
I thought death, above all, was sovereign from the petty squabbles of realms. Claire could be awfully terrifying herself when she wanted to be. Brevity hopped up to the counter to defuse the accusation.
She's locking kids in cages,
she said, with her voice at a level for scandal and gossip.
It ain't right.
If only it was just the demons to blame for that, Claire said. But hell can't borrow anything man didn't create.
I'm in a bit of a predicament, ma'am,
Walter said, apparently still wrestling with Claire's original question.
I don't answer to no one, you see. But I'm not supposed to pick favorites either. Did that once. Didn't go well, no sir. Did not go well.
Mortal lives are at stake. It's not as if you can recuse yourself. Claire would badger death if needs called for it. Brevity attempted to nudge Claire with her foot, to no effect.
Malthus isn't an easy person to say no to, Brevity said. Should have seen her face when Claire protected Hero from her.
Not the pretty young gent.
Walter looked horrified. One had to wonder what criteria there were for death to find you pretty. But Brevity supposed if anyone could manage it, Hero would.
Hero's okay, Brevity reassured him. But Malthus burned the arcane wing.
The unwritten wing is next, to be certain, Claire said grimly, then lifted her brows. We have run out of diplomatic options. I suspect you understand why.
The soul's kerfuffle, yeah.
Walter appeared to look around the counter for papers to shuffle sheepishly, but there were none. He settled for fussing with the ragged cuffs of his suit.
I'm awful glad you got that ink off, but I told you that you wouldn't like the answers none.
You did. Claire inclined her chin. But now I need more answers, whether I like them or not. You were here when librarian Poppea attempted to declare the Unwritten Wing sovereign. Instead of surprise, a grimace roiled across Walter's face as if he'd been expecting it.
Course I was, ma'am. But I can't.
You know then. Claire leaned forward like a dog on the hunt. How did she do it, Walter? What was Poppea aiming to create? Walter's eyes were not much more than sunken black holes, swirled with red, but he managed to make the voids look sorrowful.
Miss Poppea lost, though.
She said she'd claim a home for the books, to take the library back from its host realm. Claire was not one to be diverted from an inquiry. How? Can a new realm really be created? That's not possible, is it?
It's...
Walter caught himself and grimaced.
Ma'am, please.
There has to be a way. Or Poppaea wouldn't have attempted it, Claire said, more to herself than to either of them. By her side, Brevity could practically see the gears turning, bearings falling into place. She could feel the lockup and free fall when Claire's resolve kicked in. It was a terrifying kind of calm, like the stillness one felt before taking a plunge from a great height. And if there is a way, you have to be the one to know it. Please, Walter, tell me.
Miss Claire.
Walter.
I don't want to watch another war.
Walter jolted to his full height all at once. His head nearly reached the distant rafters. Even Claire startled. His fists were opening and closing at his sides. Could death panic? The jars on the shelves nearest them began a low, tremorous rattle.
Rebellion ne'er destroyed the Unwritten Wing once, ma'am. Please.
Submission will absolutely destroy the Unwritten Wing now. Claire's voice was low. Even if no less resolved, she knew when to be gentle with the facts. Malthus will not rest until she knows the secret of the books, and once she does, every story dreamed of humankind will be forfeit.
No one can survive without stories, Brevity whispered.
Certainty came to her then. That was the fact. Though she'd suggested the idea of resisting hell, exhaustion and fear hadn't let her believe it. She was a muse. She didn't want a war, a fight, a struggle, which would surely result in more destruction, not creation. But the depth of what was at stake drowned her doubts all at once.
If we don't do this, hell will control the narrative.
Sure, it'll be bad for a while. But these things work themselves out eventually,
Walter offered weakly.
Humans always manage to tell stories.
Maybe. Claire refocused her gaze on him. But not ours. Whatever hell creates, the millions of souls living in the Unwritten Wing won't be part of it. You don't think that will change things?
We all reach a point we gotta choose, Walter.
Brevity's voice was a whisper and she could not make it louder. It was too fragile a truth.
What stories are worth fighting for?
Walter's gaze wobbled between the two of them. For a moment, Brevity thought Walter might grow again, might become something terrible and deathlike and scary. But in the end, his shoulders dropped and he heaved a great sigh.
I can't deny when you talk sense like that, Miss Brev.
So you'll help us?
Yes,
Walter said, then,
no.
He held up his hands, which made a very effective shield as Claire threatened to object.
I can't get involved myself, ma'am, even if I want to.
So you can't tell us anything? Claire crossed her arms.
I can't,
Walter said, then slanted his eyes to the side.
But I can't exactly be responsible for what I don't tell you.
Claire tilted her head. Walter, are you about to be devious?
It's not cheating to say that Miss Poppaea was a lot like yourself, Miss Claire.
Walter turned his head around the room slowly, looking anywhere but at the librarians.
Clever-like. Might be she came to say goodbye before it all. Might have asked if I could hold on to a little something for her.
Brevity's eyes riveted to the jar that had been sitting on the counter all this time, forgotten. It still whispered saffron, but she could now see threads of gold and umber swirling through it, like a very fine spice.
A jar? But we use jars to travel.
Memory is just a different kind of travel,
Walter said slowly.
Like stories. It takes you away when you gotta stay where you are.
I don't need to point out that I don't have a ghost light. I'm not approved for travel.
This one stays in hell, ma'am,
Walter grimaced.
Trust me on that.
Claire eyed the jar, lips pursed into a skeptical, thin line. She exchanged a glance with Brevity. What do you think, librarian? A soft thrill distantly warmed Brevity's cheeks, as happened whenever Claire could use her new title without grief or regret. Brevity nodded.
It can't hurt. I mean, we're already on the outs with hell.
Hell can always hurt, Claire said, with a grim shrug. But you're not wrong. Together. Walter cleared his throat.
I'll just be turning my back now, real innocuous-like. Oh, look, dust.
He was a worse liar than even Rami. Brevity smiled and slotted her hand in Claire's.
Together.
The lid was stiff, and it was a bit of a feat to wrestle it loose one-handed, but Claire managed. She took a deep breath, squeezed Brevity's hand, and tilted the jar forward. Mist tumbled out in a thick fog and shifted course midair to swallow them whole. Chapter 14. Claire.
Memory is a fickle thing. Best not to trust it.
Librarian Ibukun of Ishe, 818 CE. Claire was a steady sort and dealt with all personal trauma in the time-tested way of her people. She folded it up very neatly and stored it away for never. Stiff upper lip and all that. Clara bored being a cliche, but some things were just efficient, thank you very much. So the panic attack was a surprise. There was simultaneously not enough air and far too much. Space pressed down on a small growing knot in her chest, a thorn quickly becoming a bramble, becoming a fist. Strange. Claire had always thought panic attacks, from the way Brevity described them, were thought-focused. Some fear, gibberish repeated over and over. A problem the appropriately strong-willed could wrestle under control. But this was a panic that suffused the air, intoxicated her bloodstream. Panic wasn't a fearful thought. It just was. It was an undeniable storm front in her nerves. Anxiety was the atmosphere she breathed, and Claire thought nothing, saw nothing, felt nothing for a molasses-thick moment. Fingernails dug into her palm, but not her own. Small crescents of pain brought sharp focus. Brevity tugged on her hand.
Our thoughts are having anxiety, she said firmly, as if that would help.
Seeing as I am my thoughts, that is a problem, Claire gritted through her teeth.
But you're not. You're Claire, experiencing things. You're not your thoughts. Common mistake.
Brevity tugged on her hand again.
Especially not here. Step back, boss. Step back.
The fist in her chest tried to yank on her throat, leading her like a tether. The imagery was so offensive, Claire bit on her tongue. There. The panic was still there, gripped around Claire's windpipe, but she was not leashed. The panic wasn't her own. This was Poppaea's memory. But this wasn't any kind of flashback. There was formless space around them, shapes formed only to crumble away into mist again. Hell was an antithesis to memory. Hell was a place built for memories to wither, rot, and fade to dust. It was a place for forgetting, just as your life was forgotten in the living world. Claire had been here for 30 years, and it was really a miracle that she remembered her own name and homeland. No memory stored in hell, even preserved in one of Walter's magical jars, could remain clear and whole. This was no tidy flashback to be played back for their benefit. Instead of following a map, they were going to have to dig through sand. Trap-riddled sand.
Popeia,
Claire said aloud. She had hoped that would stabilize something, and the saffron miasma around them did appear to shift and take the shape of a woman in the distance. Brevity tugged her hand, and they began walking toward it. Movement seemed to help the thorns of panic in her chest, even if it didn't lessen them.
Librarian Popeia,
Brevity called. The figure turned. At first, Claire thought it was an echo, because the call came back to them.
Popeia.
The voice was too familiar. Panic flash froze into terror as Malphus stepped through the mist behind. Her robe bled at the edges, muddying the orange air with eddies of crimson.
My sweet friend, I wish you wouldn't do this.
Malphus certainly wouldn't refer to Claire as her sweet friend. Claire wasn't even sure Malphus was capable of having friends. The pieces fell together so rapidly that Claire nearly got whiplash. This was a fragment of memory. She's not here, Claire repeated firmly to herself. She's not here.
You have the rest, I'll grant you, Malphus said with a nod that bordered on respect. But you'll never have the library. Not all of it.
I can talk to the other librarians. They'll listen to me. They have to.
A voice surged up in Claire's mind. It wasn't her voice, or any she recognized. She didn't speak it, not quite, but Malphus nodded as if she'd heard it. More of her was bleeding away. Perhaps that's why she almost looked pitying.
They won't. We have a great deal in common, your library and hell. We're not meant to unite. Demons and stories, we weren't designed that way. You will never be part of their story.
I write my own story, the not Claire voice said in her head.
A muddled, alien emotion cut through the fear. Resolve was sharp as steel and just as cold. Claire felt stabbed with it. A strange expression seeped onto Malphus's face. It took Claire a long moment to recognize it as a smile. Not the cruel, barbed thing she knew from the demon. A real, pleasant smile. Malphus cupped the air where a cheek should be and sighed.
I could never make you do anything, mortal. But I wish you wouldn't.
She lies,
the voice whispered. But it was different this time, sharper, purely directed inward.
She wants this. We have to try anyway.
Malphus was growing taller. No. The mist was rising, taking the phantom with it, but slowly sinking Claire and Brevity into its depths. A squeak escaped Brevity, which was her only warning. Claire had just a moment to tighten her grip on Brevity's hand before the bottom dropped out entirely. She lost track of Brevity in the free fall. The voluminous fabric of Claire's trousers snapped back and forth, the only point of reference she had that she was tumbling. There was no horizon, nothing to pin her vision on, but images that seemed to careen at her in all directions. One of her favorite childhood books ridiculously presented itself in Claire's memory. Down the rabbit hole with you, Alice. She breathed the space of an empty room. And her fall slowed. An infinite space spun around her, defined by her perception. A wall there, she wished, and it was. Like how the library responded to a librarian. Oh, a home. Every family needed a place to call home. It felt ridiculous calling a place home in the afterlife, but then, despite her best efforts to the contrary, she'd found a sort of family. Why not a home? But then, she hadn't found a family. Nothing was given in hell. She'd built it, fought for it, fought against it sometimes, with blood and tears. A home would likely demand the same. The floor of the space rushed up at her, and she put her hands up out of reflex. She fell through the floor, but it still left her hands stinging. She tasted willing blood on her tongue, felt a hand in her palm. She couldn't see anything, but somehow she knew that the hand gripping hers knew the way. She let it tug her along. A guide between gates. The concept came to her like a punch. We need a guide. The hand led her out of the darkness and let go, and Claire was falling again. She was distantly aware of shelves of books flying past her vision. Books. So many books. So many more than the unwritten wing could hold itself. All of them, Poppaea's voice said in a resigned tone. We need all of them. She reached out, scrambled, but couldn't find purchase. She was falling into the library, a room without a floor, a heart without a beat, becoming the library as if it were swallowing her whole. It was terrifying, and then it was calming. It was divine. Claire felt more than God touched. She felt whole. An infinite nothing, everything. A God, no, a place. Which is it? What was it? No. The moment blinded her. Hold it. Step back and listen. This is important. It wasn't enough. The story was lost. Her heart broke. Arms wrapped around her chest and squeezed tight. Claire stopped screaming. The floorboards of Walter's office were sharp slivers beneath her knees. Brevity was on the ground next to her, clinging to her shoulders. Brevity was mumbling something soothing in her ear, but Claire couldn't hear it over the bile that screamed up her throat. She retched and coughed until puffs of saffron-colored smoke escaped and dissipated into the air. Her face was burning, eyes wet, all of Poppaea's bottled-up panic and resolve and despair still coursing through her veins. A realm, a guide, a library, a god. A realm, a guide, a library, a god.
See, listen, touch, taste. Step back.
Brevity was whispering again, as if it were a mantra.
Pay attention to where you are now.
Claire forced herself to take a breath, release the simmering memory, and focus on the gritty reality of wood under her fingers. But she held on to the assault of senses she'd felt on the way down. An empty space. A sentinel's blood, a mind-rending taste of the divine. Her mouth tasted sour as she raised her head. Brevity looked at her with wide, worried eyes, but seemed otherwise unbothered. Muses were made for the madness of memory. She'd saved her. Claire had enough wits to hoarsely croak out,
"Thank you."
The surprise that accompanied Brevity's smile never failed to sting. She still didn't expect Claire to express gratitude, kindness. Brevity always thought the best of her, but never demanded it. Her grip on Claire's shoulders relaxed a little bit.
Malthus knew Poppaea.
Claire nodded, insides still hurting.
Malthus used Poppaea.
and she'll use us now. Her voice was raw and ragged. She leaned on Brevity as they got to their feet. Walter was long gone, and the jar on the counter sat as empty as Claire felt. Brevity supported most of her weight. I believe I know what we have to do. A realm, a guide, a library, a god. The edict settled into repeating in her head like a heartbeat. A realm, a guide, a library, a god. Chapter 15. Hero. I know what I need from the hints Malphas dropped. The research I did. A realm, a god, a guide, a people. Common sense tells me that I alone cannot acquire a realm, let alone a god. My allies are few. I was not an easy woman to like in life, and I was not an easy woman to like in death. The ally I do have in Revka... No. No. I'm not willing to risk her. She'd help me, but hell would make her pay for it. I am surrounded elsewise by books and demons and all who want something from me. My hope lies in the other librarians. Librarian Poppaea Iulia, 48 BCE.
Shit! Merde! Fuck!
Hero's enunciation was excellent. His faux royal air wasn't entirely put on just to annoy Claire after all. He'd had tutors in his time as a young tyrant king. He'd ruthlessly beat out his common upbringing and now knew how to roll his tongue, gliding in a way that could draw out the sweet spots of words and phrases. He gloried in practicing the full extent of his skills as he ran through the filthiest vocabulary he could conjure. He had learned some things from the damsels, after all.
Can't you do something about him?
Iambi asked, fingers pressed to her temple.
No, and I don't try,
Rami said with an unperturbed air, though Hero didn't miss how he flinched when Hero struck on something delightfully sacrilegious. Rami was particularly handsome from this angle. Sprawled with curated insolence across the desk, head hanging over the side, Hero had a particularly good view of Rami's jawline. It nearly distracted him from his amusement. Nearly.
Come now, Librarian Echo, don't be rude. Cat got your tongue, he said.
And then, just as she was about to speak, with some terribly clever twist of tongue, no doubt, Hero added a particularly crude insult in some language a book had told him was Klingon. And Echo closed her mouth again. Books had become so much more fun since he had started actually reading them. Gave you all kinds of strange ideas. Hero could see why Claire was so fond of it now.
Sometimes I wish Electo really had mauled you on your last visit.
Iambi said with a sniff.
Then again, I doubt even a lion could have taught you when to back off.
Off, Echo said primly.
See?
Iambi looked smug. Mother is much more practiced at this game than you. Hero's hand flew to his chest.
Such language. I am shocked, Echo. Think of the children.
Hero gestured vaguely in the direction of the children's books section of the collection. Though the unwritten wing had enough sense to secure any books at risk of expelling innocent characters far, far away from the front entrance.
Must you be so rude?
Hero shrugged.
It's not as if sentient pawns can complain.
Don't antagonize the immortal reflection, if you please. Claire and Brevity entered at a brisk pace. Claire's pallor became evident as they drew nearer. Her warm brown cheeks had a tendency to take on a waxy, unhealthy quality under duress. There was a peculiar brightness to her eyes, too wet and too sharp.
Walter was helpful,
Hero guessed with a fair degree of certainty. In hell, only success was that distressing. He rolled off the desk and onto the balls of his feet. He caught Brevity by the shoulder as she deposited her bag.
What happened?
We talked to Popea.
Brevity's brow crinkled. She scrunched up her nose and rubbed a hand over her face.
Well, kinda. Kinda Malphus, too. Hell is shit at this memory thing. We think...
Not here,
Claire cautioned. Her shoulders were tight, arms crossed in front of her chest like a shield. Rami offered her a cup of tea, and she took and sipped it absently.
Too close to the entrance. Perhaps the office.
We'll go to the damsel suite,
Brevity said. Claire shook her head.
Until we are decided on a course of action.
If we're deciding what to do, the damsels get a vote.
A gritty resolution streaked Brevity's tone, and Hero cocked a brow at her.
This involves all of us. No more unilateral decisions.
Porcelain clinked against wood as Claire set her cup down and considered. She nodded, if slowly.
As you say, librarian.
Out of habit, Hero scrutinized the tension in Claire's voice. He was surprised by what he found. Claire was able to defer to Brevity by her former title, without the throb of still-healing loss. The wound of librarian had healed between them, or at the very least, scabbed over. Both Claire and Brevity had the good sense not to pick at it. With the arcane wing gone, Hero wondered if Claire and Rami had a title at all. Perhaps they were all simply patrons, or refugees seeking shelter in the library. That was part of what libraries were for, after all. Then again, perhaps they were as lost as Hero was. That was a disturbing thought.
Librarian Echo,
Brevity said after holding the silence a beat too long. She turned and cleared her throat. She straightened, a hand fluttering up to her face, though she had no glasses to straighten. Hero, by now, recognized this as her librarian mode.
Will you and Iambi join us? I think this concerns all of us now.
She paused.
I mean, Palace is welcome too, but...
She trailed off and made an awkward gesture at the puddled depression in the rug where Palace's true form slumped at rest. Echo, in her not-Palace image, shook her head.
My brother can guard the doors.
Iambi answered dryly. He doesn't mind.
Mind,
Echo repeated, with a reproachful tone. Mother and daughter had almost matching frowns when turned on each other. Brevity had the wisdom to simply nod and jerk her chin toward the widest aisle between the stacks. Claire and Rami followed, and Hero stretched before nudging past Echo.
Come along then, Pond,
Hero muttered.
Popea didn't just rebel against hell, Claire announced once they were settled in the lounge.
Brevity had commandeered the main sitting area, and the residents of the damsel suite were crowded to the walls. Their numbers had grown under her care. Claire sat in an armchair near the center, hands twisted in her lap. She tried to establish a sovereign realm of her own, for the library. Rami stopped, with a wrinkle of his brow so deep that Hero thought he'd hurt himself.
I didn't think that was a thing a mortal could do.
It's not, Iambi said, a bit scandalized. But Popea tried, anyway. I have a feeling she nearly got away with it.
Away with it,
Echo said. Claire evidently had better practice decoding oblique questions than Hero did. She shook her head.
You would need a lot of things. Poppaea knew what those things were. A place to go, for one, and a realm is not an easy thing to secure.
Not a lot of vacancy signs advertised in the local paper.
But that wasn't the most important thing she lacked.
Brevity counted on her fingers.
A realm, a god, some kind of guide, and...
Did you say a god?
Rami nearly dropped the delicate teacup that Rosia had offered him. There was one more thing. Claire ignored him and instead turned a steady gaze to Echo. Poppaea was attempting to establish a realm for the library, all the wings of the library. For that, she would need the consensus and agreement of all the librarians of all the wings in the afterlife.
The library is already a single entity, though,
Rami frowned.
The interworld loan signifies that.
You haven't spent much time around libraries, have you, Angel?
Iambi narrowed her eyes with amusement.
By all means, enlighten us then,
Hero said.
Libraries may be united in theory, but the job doesn't exactly attract the most conforming types, in case you hadn't noticed.
Iambi made a dismissive flick in the direction of her mother.
We can be quite territorial and set in our ways, Claire said.
Hero conjured an appropriately theatrical gasp of shock.
The IWL is more of an agreement, Brevity admitted. We don't really, talk.
There hasn't been a universal concord among the wings of the library since...
Claire stopped, frowning as she thought. Since Poppaea's time, I suppose.
And even she failed,
Hero muttered.
So each wing is its own little fiefdom in your practice? No wonder.
Libraries are unique to the needs of their patrons, Claire insisted.
Hero was kind enough to not mention that the unwritten wing didn't particularly have patrons, only benign demons at best.
The only thing we share in common is the artifacts in our care.
The souls,
Rami corrected gently. Claire's brow twitched.
Yes, I mean, the souls in our care.
Rami nodded.
So we gather them. Them,
Hero muttered to himself ruefully.
Yes, a reunion.
We shouldn't just barge in, like last time.
Brevity bit her lip.
It didn't go so well.
I'll help you with whatever diplomatic niceties we need.
Claire's voice curdled a little at the idea, but her gaze narrowed in Hero and Rami's direction.
But there's something else we can do in the meantime.
Hero leaned in toward Rami and pitched his voice at a false whisper that would carry.
Why is it when a librarian says we, I hear you lot, and when she says something else, I hear ludicrous peril?